This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Today, we have two people who are known to the performing arts and the BFM communities because they are often on stage and have been on BFM a few times. My guests are January Low, a classical Indian dancer, and Sean Ghazi, who is here in a capacity not as the singer who will provide vocal accompaniment to January's dance, but rather as the artistic director of Bobo on Jalan Bangkung in Bangsa. And the connection between the two of them is that January, with a partner, will be dancing at Bobo.
That's right, yes.
January, is this a new dance that you'll be performing?
It is a new production. The items are not very new. They're quite old, actually.
What do you mean the items are not very new?
Okay, so the dance style I do is Odissi.
So that's not new.
That's not new. But it is new in the sense that it has been recently resurrected. It's about 60 years old. So that's considered young for a classical art form. But the way we look at the dance is not like a full-fledged ballet where there is Act 1 and Act 2. It's almost like how singers have songs. So in that sense, so that's why I call them dance items. Those are not new. Those are quite old.
We'll talk more about that shortly.
Sure.
This is not new in some ways, but it has not been seen before.
No, it hasn't.
That's what I wanted
to
find
out. And the two of you dancing this
yes.
hasn't been seen before.
Hey, I'm supposed to ask that question and to solicit that out of her.
So I just...
Sean, did you commission this dance because it's new?
Okay, commission is a big word because that involves like, you know...
You pay her a lot
like
of money.
Stacks of money.
Go study.
That's not happening. Well, we talked about it. In fact, January and I have wanted to work together for quite some time now, and with me in a producer capacity. And so ever since Bobo KL started, which is coming up to a year in December, early December, I said to Jan, why don't you come and do something on our little stage? Because I know that you don't have to travel much in the Odissi dance form. I've seen you perform it in a spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I thought, okay, perfect. That's as big as our stage is.
Yep.
So why didn't you come and do something for the month of Deepavali? You know, so that's where it started, the idea.
So Sean, the stage is not very big.
It's not big at all. And there's a grand piano on said stage, which we will be moving to provide more room for Jan and Radhi.
Yep.
You know, as far as that stage is concerned, what kinds of performances work best there?
Well, initially it was designed as a piano lounge, so a very sort of cabaret kind of take on this sort of establishment where it's basically, it was supposed to be piano and voice, or piano and another instrument and voice, you know, so very small, very tight.
Pretty tight, yeah.
Yeah, but since we've opened, we've had all sorts of shows at Bobo, and some have been big and some have been just like solo guitar. You know, so I like the idea of stretching this tiny space and
is
making
this
it
going to be the first dance?
This is the first official dance performance we're having at Bobo. We've had other people get up and improvise. No names mentioned. So Heidi Micheline, Marion.
Just in one spot.
Well, it...
Or did they come off stage and then dance amongst the audience?
You know, we've had audiences get up and dance. And as tight as that space is, they have been, you know, salsaing and stuff. And just like this past weekend, I did a show with an 8-piece big band. And people still found the room to get up and get their groove on. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But they didn't get on the stage. They just danced where they were, I assume.
No, because I was on stage and I wouldn't have let that happen. Sorry, security.
How do you go about curating? For instance, you mentioned that, you know, you talked to January sometime last year.
Mm-hmm.
How far ahead do you plan?
Quite far ahead, actually. The whole of this year is full up, and now I'm looking at filling up first quarter of 2017. I like working in advance because you also have to think about the listings, you have to think about artwork and all that sort of stuff, and also dealing with every artist's requirements. And there's varying degrees of diva. You know, and I mean that in the best possible way. You know, certain people don't have a lot in terms of requirements. Other people have a lot in terms of requirements. So we want to make sure that we give everyone the best treatment.
How do you go about doing this? Here, I can see it's a friendship. Yeah. You've kind of talked about it, and then you bring a show onto the stage.
Right.
But with the others...
But it's partial sort of friends that I know. I mean, I've worked in the industry quite some time, so I know almost everyone. And then if there's some newbies that I've not heard of, so I'll go and check them out. Or I'll check out stuff on the internet, YouTube and things. And, Yeah, so it's kind of like there's no one method. And a lot of time people call me and say, look, we want a spot here. And I'm like, okay. Then I have to like curate and see whether they fit the Bobo mold.
And what would that be?
I don't know. I'm still trying to articulate what that is. But
very atas?
No, not very atas. Not very
atas. I think quality, focus on quality, yeah, excellence. Chops. And really what the Malaysian talent pool has to offer, really.
There are not that many spaces, or there are quite a few spaces coming up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there enough acts to go around?
Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
That's good. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes. And there are a lot of acts that the public don't know of, you know, who should be out there. Yeah. And also a lot of performers who I feel are underrated, not used enough in the mainstream, for example, you know.
Yep.
You know, who are you thinking of? Who, in a sense, underrepresented, the public does not know about?
I can't. You put me on the spot. I can't think of anyone right now. But for example, the public know Adibah Noor as a certain kind of performer. Do they know, I'm thinking in my little head, that she is probably one of the best vocalists in the country? Do they know that? They might know her of...
She was here a couple of weeks ago, or a few weeks ago.
Because
she was performing at Bobo.
Yeah. She has, if not the best voice in town, she's pretty up there. And yeah, you know her as a radio host, you might know her as a comedian, you might know her as an actress, but this woman has chops. And I feel that that's my role, is like to like try and highlight the fact that, you know, there's some amazing artists in this country. You know?
Is there a problem to find acts?
No, it's never a problem. I actually
to
turn people away.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Okay, we want to get to the dance.
The dance.
Yeah.
Jang, jang, jang. Or jang, jang, jang.
You're listening to Sean Ghazi and January Lowe. And Sean Ghazi is the programming director. January is the dancer. And she'll be dancing at Bobo this weekend. Coming up, we'll find out about the dance called Bloom. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. In the studio with me are January Lowe and Sean Ghazi, and we're talking about January's dance titled Bloom, which you perform with Rathimala Govindaraju this Friday through Sunday at Bobo. She is pregnant.
Very pregnant.
January is 7 months pregnant.
Now, why dance when you're pregnant?
I don't think it's so much about dancing when pregnant. I so happen to be pregnant, and I have actually been quite active all the way up to finding out about the pregnancy. And initially, this was supposed to be a solo program. But I spoke to Sean and I said, I think I'm going to pull out. And then he said, I'm going to call Radhi. So I said, fine, go ahead.
I asked you permission.
He asked my permission very sweetly. He
said, okay,
I'm going to...
Who would you recommend?
Because
I loved the idea of dance at Bobo.
Yes.
Especially for this month.
And then I said, yes, call Radhi because she is the one to call.
She was supposed to replace you.
She was supposed to replace my slot. And then Radhi calls me immediately and she's like, what do you mean you're not dancing? So I said, I'm pregnant. She's like, so?
So, yeah, you got scolded.
Sean, when you got her to plan for her to dance, you didn't think about her getting pregnant.
No, I didn't think about... I did not, because I have a set of twins, three-year-old twins, so they're still quite young, and I really didn't think that I was going to get pregnant. It wasn't in the stars or any. I mean, obviously it was in the stars, but it wasn't in the planning, because after the kids turned one, I had just come back to dancing because I took quite a long break. And I'd been dancing actively for about 2 years.
Well, understandably, you were carrying twins.
Yes, right? And I was told, you cannot dance, you know?
So you've never danced while pregnant?
No, with twins also, because it's considered high risk, so I wasn't really allowed to do much.
You were kind of on bed rest, weren't you?
Not so much on bed rest. I was quite active, actually, but I was not dancing.
Right, okay.
So anyways, then Radhi's like...
that whole bed rest thing. I had just a bit of drama, you know?
No, I am strong.
Okay, sorry.
But yeah, so Radhi said, why not? You know, I said, I'll be in my seventh 11th month, which is already the third trimester. And she said, you know, I think you're pretty strong, you're pretty fit. And I've been dancing a long time. I've been dancing since I was 8. So that is, what, 23 years?
How come you didn't pull the performance up earlier? So like, you know, performed in May, then okay. She is...
The thing you asked me about curating, once I've locked people in, dates are like, so these other weekends prior to... And also, I wanted it to be a Deepavali thing. I wanted it to be in October, you see.
And it was never really a question about, oh, I would be too pregnant. I mean, once I decided to do it, and I'm the kind of person, once I decide to do it, doesn't matter when, I could be in my 8th month or whatever, but if I say I'm going to do it, I put my mind to it and I say, okay, let's get fit. Let's start working out. Let's start exercising. Let's start getting the body ready to perform.
Which I love. I think it's fantastic that you're doing this while you're
pregnant. I'm really happy. Radhi and I have been rehearsing on Skype while I'm in Jakarta. I'm based in Jakarta at the moment. So we've been rehearsing on Skype and I've been dancing every other day.
Rehearsing on Skype.
On Skype, yes.
That's something that I don't quite understand.
We've gone on the Facebook live stream as well. And yeah, we rehearse live. So our laptops are facing each other, or I don't know how it works, but technology is amazing.
I mean, I can understand doing lines, but when you need to
be... same thing. Doing
but physically.
Yeah, I mean, well, they don't it's not exactly a pas de deux where I need to hold you, need to hold me.
In that sense, there are no lifts. Radhi was actually my first dance teacher when I was 8. So we have this bond, and we've been dancing together for the longest time. So we have this connection. So even though we're miles away, as cliched as it may sound, we get each other and we know, and we've been trained in ODC for so long, so we know what to expect. And so we learn the dance items at the same time while we're on a Skype call, and we put the music on and we just...
You are dancing with her though, right?
I am dancing with her.
It's not just that you do your thing, she does her thing, two people dancing.
No, it is a duet. It is basically a duet. The first piece and the last two pieces are together, and then we have our solos. So we work on our solos independently, of course, and then we have the duets rehearsed together.
I mean, in my head, I can just see this kind of a gimmick where you have...
like holograms?
No, having two laptops. I'm just right now quite fascinated by this whole notion.
The whole thing is just like
rehearse fascinating.
Using the fact that you're pregnant.
Laptops and Skypes.
And technology.
Technology.
So Sunheng, what's going to happen after the performance, we'll take a short break and then we'll come back and we'll have like a discussion. It'll be like a panel that
the audience.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Because I think the whole process has been really, really quite interesting. None of us have actually done Skype rehearsals or danced pregnant. So it's just really a very interesting and new way of coming together.
No, because I've heard of people, we are really digressing because I find this quite interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I've heard of people learning how to play musical instruments with a tutor who is not in the same space and is done over Skype.
Yes.
And I can see that. I can see that.
Singing lessons too.
Yeah, I can see that. I can also see a director watching a rehearsal of actors all in their space.
Yes.
But to have two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fascinating.
Loving it.
Fascinating. Yep. Fascinating. Okay, back to this thing about being pregnant.
Yes.
Any risks?
That was my first question to her.
Was actually my first question.
Do I need to have someone in the room? Do we need to have paramedics on standby? You know, drama.
No. I've been taking care of myself really well, as one should be. But my first question to my obstetrician was, can I dance? And she was really cool about it. She delivered my twins and she said, you know what? You know your body. You know what it's capable of doing. And because I have been dancing for so long, so the body is used to that level of physical exertion. It's not like I am lying down all day, every day. And I do have two toddlers to run after. So the day is constantly moving and so am I. So far, touch wood, no risks, no nothing. I drink lots of water to prevent bloating and swelling and all that jazz. But so far, so good.
It's interesting, but over here in Asia, we have all these kind of tales about
so
you cannot do this. You
can't
even,
hang
clothes,
so over them.
Right?
Yeah, no, really.
You can't wash your hair. You can't even drink ice water.
Yeah. And then here you are dancing.
I know.
Yeah. I love it. I love that we're pushing the boundaries. Even the image, the photograph stuff, and we've used that quite a lot.
Yeah. Radhi and I had, we've been having lots of discussion before we even started rehearsing. Are we going to keep this dance completely classical and traditional? Is it going to be Odyssey inspired? Is it going to be, and I told her, I said, no, I want to keep it completely classical because that is really what my body is used to, rather than contemporizing it and making something inspired. I'd rather just go back to the roots and do something that I am used to and I'm comfortable
doing. And
which
you do extremely, extremely well.
I sure hope so.
Okay.
Because the audience cannot quite see her, Sean, yes. So rather than get Jenway to describe herself, we'll get you to describe her. Is she visibly pregnant?
Visibly? She's 7 months pregnant. There is a baby in there.
Okay. So we can see it.
Yes, yes, there is. And if you actually go on our Facebook page, Bobo Kuala Lumpur, Bobo KL, you'll see the collateral, the poster, the artwork mm-hmm. that we've created. And there are two dancers. One is not pregnant. The
One
other is
pretty pregnant. And that photo was taken 2 months ago. So my so belly level, has...
You're lucky pregnant.
Has lucky bloom.
But I love how this thing has been organic. It really yes. has been organic from the get-go. And yep. now that January and Reddy decided to incorporate the pregnancy, you know, yes. and just it's just incidentally yep. that you're pregnant. You
yeah.
know?
I always thought pregnancies were organic.
Pregnancies are organic, but
no,
I think the
process.
But Soon Heng, I want to go back to actually all the pantang and the. We didn't really have obstacles per se because Sean has been with us and fully, you know, like go for it. I don't care. I don't mind, you know. But we have had some negative response about. Why you're doing this and why do you have to do this?
From yeah, whom? Yeah. From whom?
From haters.
From haters, yeah, you know. But haters gonna hate,
you know
hate, right? Yeah. So what can you do? But I do want to say that at the end of the day, I am already a mother and I wouldn't want to endanger my child in any way. Yeah. So I do what I can. But at the same time, it's not so much about I am a woman, I am pregnant, this is the message I want to, you know, it's not really about that. It's more about life happens and my life is not going to be put on hold just because I am pregnant. If I have this opportunity, why not go ahead and do it? So we're really embracing all of life in its fullest.
And the response from the non-haters has been amazing.
Yeah. Oh, know? Yes, yes, absolutely. The non-haters,
I've never
yeah.
heard this kind of sub-expression, non-haters to... Of
haters.
What? Of the dance?
No, there's always going to be people who are negative.
It's not yeah. so much about the dance. It's more like, why is she doing this? Why is she taking the risk?
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you have to prove? I understand that you're a woman and all of that. But no, I think in our dance form as well, it's very patriarchal as well. At the end of the day, the male dancers or the male musicians or the male tailors and all the males that are in this community as well, they will never really know what it's like to actually perform like this or the work that goes behind it. So I think it has to be said because sometimes things like this happen.
Since you've raised this issue, how is this dance a kind of celebration of femininity and positivity?
How?
Yeah. Just by the fact
so.
That because
it's
you are pregnant.
Celebration.
Yes, I'm not just pregnant. I mean, I'm married. I'm a mother. Because, you know, when with dancers as well, they say the lifespan is so short of a performer, of a dancer, especially of a female performer, because life gets in the way. I had the most amount of free time to myself to do whatever I wanted before I got married. But now life happened and responsibilities are flooding in and I have loads of other lives to take care of besides my own. But at the same time, I didn't want to forget the identity of myself as a woman. And it took me a long time to come to terms with this because I would always say, oh, it's so difficult being a woman because I have to stay home. I have all these mundane responsibilities that I have to attend to because my husband is working and I decided to be a full-time stay-at-home mom. But actually, very funnily, when I delivered, Meera Sivasodhi sent me a Facebook message and she said, whatever it is, don't forget yourself first. And I carry that with me till today. I make it a very conscious effort to make sure that my needs are also met while taking care of others and tending. And that's all, you know. I think it's always played down. You always think, oh, yeah, you get married, you have children. But no one really knows and talks about what actually happens inside.
I think
your
brain. You sort of touched on it a little bit, but the Asian mentality as well has
yes.
been.
Yes, yeah. the right, Asian sorry. Mentality of being a
so
woman.
Let me just repeat
well.
That. So,
yes.
What I kind of, I think what you touched on a little bit without actually saying it was this sort of Asian mentality towards pregnancy and motherhood and not
being
working,
a wife,
being a wife
and
all that
yep,
sort of
absolutely.
Stuff, which is kind of like a little bit old-fashioned.
Yes.
But
we are still like this as we head towards 2020.
We are still like this because at the end of the day, it's not also about the audience or the performers or the art curators or the dance curators. It's also our families, the communities and the people that surrounds us and nurtures us. It has to be more positive, I feel. There's just so much no-nos and pantang. And
yeah, and also like letting the mother decide what's good for her and what's good for her body. Yeah. This pantang stuff, it's really reinforced by the circle that surrounds these young mothers. And I'm like, well, you know, if she wants to wash her hair, let her wash her hair, lah.
Absolutely.
You know, it's her choice. It's not yours, newsflash.
Not at all. And I think it also goes a little bit forward because I already have kids. I have a daughter of my own and I do want to raise her to follow what she wants to do, follow her passion and trust yourself first.
Is that part of the story in the dance? Overtly or covertly?
I'm sure subconsciously as well, because when I am rehearsing, when I am rehearsing, my kids are running around, like they're playing, and I mean, I have rehearsal videos where my kids are just on their bicycles,
the
or
dog
Jade
walks
is,
by.
The dog walks by, or my daughter's playing with her Play-Doh, or reaching for something and climbing on a chair. I mean, that is really my life at the moment, and as much as possible, I just try to find that half an hour for myself to just rehearse, and they're living in it day to day, you know, rather than forcing like Kumon and piano classes and ballet classes down on children's throats. I'd rather just have the arts and this sort of love for what they want to do
just be there
you know, rather than force things down their throats.
Back to the dance.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Back to the dance. In the performance itself, is there a storyline within the dances?
Well, there is no full narrative in that sense, because the traditional Odissi repertoire is broken up into segments. So the first piece is always called a Mangala Charanam. So it's an invocatory piece where you invoke a certain god. In our case, we are doing something to invoke Ganesha, the elephant-headed god, remover of obstacles, to just sort of say, okay, we're starting now, let's bless this space. And then we end with a salutation to the audience. So that is always the first dance in any Odissi program you see. And then we move on into Radhi Solo, which is a dance piece about Krishna, describing Krishna, the cowherd lord, and how he dances beautifully and he's always enticing the gopis, who are the cowgirls, the cowherd ladies. And then it moves on into My Solo, which is a solo on Radha. So the Krishna-Radha theme is there. The overall theme is more about love and beauty and things like that, rather than focus on the goddess Kali and gory things. So it's more pretty in that sense.
At the risk of sounding Trump-like.
Oh, no.
Don't go there.
Or perpetuating those kinds of values. Uh-huh. How does being pregnant change the aesthetics of the form of the dance?
So far...
Very good question, actually.
Because... At the end of the day, dances are still very much about form.
Absolutely.
And I have yet to see a picture of somebody who is not somehow aesthetically pleasing to look at doing a dance.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is also one of the messages and empowering messages that we are trying to send out, because everyone has a different body type. And I think we've also come from dance companies where certain girls aren't allowed to join the ensemble because their body type is of a different shape. Let's see. So in
that happens
sense,
in every dance form.
Yes, and it happens everywhere. It even happens in Odissi, because in India, you see the Indian classical dances as well. They're also not the smallest. But of course, these are the gurus. These are the prima donnas of Odissi, of Indian classical dance. And they also do not fit this slim, slender, hourglass,
cover girl,
Odissi. You know,
like
maybe she's born with it sort of thing, you know, because I think with Indian classical dance, there's a bit more leeway in that sense. But so far, I mean, I've been really careful with what I'm eating as well, but the belly is there. There's nothing much we can do about that. So in that sense, I've tried to keep all of the technique. I just don't do too much like grand pliés, where you go all the way down.
Yeah, no, don't do a grand plié.
I can do a grand plié really slowly. So if it's really, really slow and gradual, that's fine. But I've told Radhi, I'm not going to do like a grand plié in like two counts, you know.
No.
I don't do that. Not
Please
so much
don't.
Jumping. But so far, so good. It has the aesthetics. I just feel like I'm a lot heavier and slower. But I try to keep up with the speed. And that just forces me to anticipate the next movement. That's about it, really.
Who else are involved in this performance?
I'm dancing with Radhi, of course. And then the music that we are using, we have... the music is also another really complex thing, because there are all these very fuzzy copyright issues. So we are using this track that we found on Amazon, but we have learned these pieces before. We're taking a few tracks from that. Radhi is doing an old piece from Sutra Dance Theatre. I have commissioned a solo 2 years ago from this lady in India, so I'm doing a new piece as well. So the music has been compiled and sort of rearranged by a local music producer. His name is Edwin Annan, and he also goes by the name Chorus Hooks. We also have a costume designer. This girl actually is coming up, and she designs sari blouses, and she's trying to bring back the sari movement and to bring tradition and culture back.
I love that. There's a sari movement. There's also a kabaya movement.
Yes. So it's wonderful that everyone is just bringing all these traditions and cultural movements back. So Ruva Lee Juan is designing our blouse, our sari blouse. And we bought the saris from her as well. And our photographs, if you've seen the posters, the flyers, our publicity shots, they were all taken by Magindran.
Well, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
January Low and Rasli Mala Govinda Raju will be performing Bloom at Bobo KL on Jalan Bangkung in Bangsa. First performance is on Friday, October 21st, and runs the weekend through to Sunday, October 23rd. Performance starts sometime between 9:30 and 10 o'clock, right? Is that how it normally works?
It's starting earlier because we have to factor in that...
She needs to go to bed.
Yeah.
So what time are you starting?
So we want everyone to be there at 9 so we can work out seating and stuff, and we'll probably start on the dot at 9:30.
Okay, so they'll start at 9:30.
We are pretty much full this weekend, but there might be some cancellations. So the best thing to do is to call the number 03-2092-5002 to make a reservation and to be put on a waiting list or just to see what the situation is.
03-2092-5002.
That's right.
This is Front Row, The Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.